friends, my throat is very bad, but I'm sure it'll get better as I start preaching. So please bear with me for a few minutes. And it was like watching a Gujarati channel for me sitting there. I didn't understand one word of what you all sang or what you all spoke, but I was seated there. And I think Pastor Dinkar Taylor, I'm hoping that he said good things about me, because I didn't understand that also. The only thing I understood was Tata, Chicago, and New Jersey. So, see, before I start, I just want to tell you a small story and then start, because with a lot of strain I'm speaking, and I want to make sure that you don't sleep on me. So this story will definitely wake you up. So this is my first experience of preaching in the U.S. God graciously brought me from South India, Chennai, for work. And before that, you should know who the speaker is, what he does, right? Because I'm sure the two people that are really praying very hard right now are Pastor Dinkar Taylor and Brother Kamal and his family. Because I know how difficult it is when you invite a preacher, and if the preacher does not deliver, the person who called the preacher will get killed the next day. So I know that both of them are under extreme fire right now. And I'm so glad for Brother Kamal and Sister Kashmira, because they've come for several of the meetings that we have in New Jersey. And Brother Kamal, from the beginning, he keeps telling me, "Brother, somehow I want to introduce you to this church and I want to bring you here." And that's how he introduced me. And before that, I work as an HR manager for one of the best IT organizations in the world. And the reason why I'm telling you this is not to boast about myself, just to tell you that I have a good job, I have a very good salary. So if I say certain things during the message, it is not for me to take my begging bowl very discreetly to say that please give donation for India. Absolutely no. So that is the only reason why I'm telling you my job, and I don't want to say my salary, but I earn decently. The story goes like this. The first time a brother called me, and this was in Boise, Idaho. To be very honest, I never knew that there was a place called Idaho and Boise till the time this person called me. So he was very kind. I was really geared up, because till that time I was only fasting and praying within my four walls. I would go to work, come back. My friends would go for vacation. They'd go around the U.S. seeing different places. But like a psycho, I will sit in my room and only fast and pray. Because God told me that he was going to open a few doors, and I had to prepare myself. Because when the battlefield comes before you, you cannot fail. Because there is only a one chance in most cases. So similarly, I waited for almost 18 long months. And this brother called me for ministry. He said, "Brother, I want to book the tickets for you." So he was very kind. He booked the tickets. So my flight was at 6 p.m. And in my excitement, I read it as, it was at 4 o'clock, it was 16 hours, but in my excitement, I read it as 6. So I thought the flight is at 6 p.m. So, happily I'm going. It's a very small town. It's like India's Jamshedpur. That's where I come from. It's called Midland, Michigan. It's a very small town. So even if you go 20 minutes before, you can check in. So you can imagine the state of the town. So I go there. Nobody is there. The airport is empty, and I'm wondering what is happening. Where is the plane? Where are passengers? The plane has taken off. I was so disappointed, and I said, somehow I have to go tomorrow. So I came back home immediately. I saw what are the tickets available. So there was one ticket early morning, 6 a.m. When I looked at the fare, I almost fell out of my bed, because it was $1,500. One way, just one way. So I'm thinking, should I really go? But on the other side, this urge to do ministry was really, really hard. So I said, who cares about the money? So I booked the ticket and I go to Boise, Idaho. So the way this brother gave me the build-up, I thought it must be a big church, huge congregation. That's how he told me. And when I went, the church was big, big audience, maybe 300, 400 people. So I'm going there full fasting, praying. And they said, "Brother, this is not the place you have to talk. There is another place for you." Okay, I thought maybe in America they have different rooms. So they took me through. The way started becoming narrower and narrower as I kept going. It was a basement. So I went to the basement. It was just one side of this portion. I said, okay, maybe, you know, God has allowed this. And when I went in, I was stunned looking at the audience. The audience was exactly 14 people. The age group is minimum 75, maximum 92. This is my audience. And I am a preacher who's very, very vocal, and I get very aggressive at times. So, you know, one side I got so disturbed. This guy makes me come here. I spent $1,500. Three of them are not able to even look at me. They are so old. And I'm thinking, Lord, why are you doing this to me? So I said, okay, I set this aside. I started preaching. And the way I shouted, I would have almost broke the pulpit. That's how aggressive I spoke. And as I'm speaking, three of them in front, they're going like this. And out of the 12, three are snoring. The remaining nine are looking at them. So this is how my experience is. So, you know, I'm used to audience sleeping, but if you sleep here, definitely I will wake you up. So please pay attention, and I'm very, very sure that the Lord will speak to you, because in several sermons that I've preached, not one time have I lost my voice, and I've had to go through real struggle before coming here. Today morning when I woke up, Brother Joe is very kind in accommodating me. Only air was coming out. I'm not exaggerating, very, very honestly, because I'm standing in the presence of the Most High God. Only air. So they gave me hot water, they gave me soup, they gave me Vicks, they gave me several things, but only air is coming out. Before leaving, I just told the Lord, if you take me there, you have a plan, and I'm very sure that God is going to speak to you. So I want you to sit with sheer reverence. Whatever be your problems, please throw it aside for the next 30-40 minutes. And trust me, God will speak to you. And I don't believe in coming and blabbering something. God loves you. God bless you. This is not my style. Minimum 5 days I will fast before I give one sermon. Precisely. And I have never repeated a single message, because I truly believe every audience is unique. Every audience demands are different. Every audience, their needs are different. And I truly believe that only if the Lord speaks to them will they be motivated to come close to God. I am sure that God will speak to you today, because I have paid a very heavy price for this. So let us close our eyes in a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. And Master, it is your divine plan, your divine purpose, that we should join as one family here, Master. And Lord, I bind every single demonic force that is coming against your plans today, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind them with the authority you've given me, Lord. And Master, I pray that you may speak to every single soul that is seated here. I pray that you may stir their hearts and let them know that Jesus Christ is still alive. Jesus Christ is not another God. Jesus Christ is the only living God. And your people should know that Jesus Christ is looking into their life very closely, Master. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. While preparing for this specific audience, the Holy Spirit very clearly told me that there are three groups of people. So for each group, I'm going to take different portions from the scripture, and whatever the Holy Spirit has put in my heart, I will tell you precisely. If one of you could read this specific scripture portion, Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Brother, can you read in English, brother, please, if you don't mind? So this is for group one. Here is a classic example of two types of parents. One is Jacob. Second is a man, we don't know if he knows the Lord or whatever it is. He is a different group. There are two sets of parents and two big blunders they create in their life. Because of what they did, there was a huge blunder. Here is Jacob. Here on one side, here is a daughter in the house. She says, I'm going to go and look at places. And what do the parents do? They casually let her go. Today, many of us, we know the Lord. We know Him very well. We know every single Bible verse. But when we have to take care of our children, we are so careless. Many Christians, not just non-Christians, many Christian homes, if you go to their homes, people are so engrossed in making money. Here is a classic example that the parents did not take care of her daughter. When the daughter said, I'm going to see around in a new place, not knowing what the environment is holding, what kind of people they are, they just let go of her. Today, many parents think that giving good education alone is enough for their children. Today, many parents think that just taking care of their materialistic needs, it is absolutely okay. Many parents think that if we give them all the luxuries of the world, that is what the world will look at. I am here to say it is absolutely wrong. And this is not my theory, this is from the Bible. The parents did not take care of their daughter. And what happens? She goes, in my version it says she was raped. Can you think about it? Today we just read it, read this as a story. But put yourself in the parent's shoe. How humiliating. How much pain. How much agony. Why? Because of one wrong decision. Several times in our life, we make silly mistakes. But those silly mistakes can cost you really, really bad. What should have the mother done? What should the father have done? Their focus should have been on the children. Their focus should have been on the child. Today, several people, they are busy running behind this world. I must become a multi-millionaire. I must become a multi-billionaire. Who cares about your money if your child goes to the drain? Who cares about your money when right before you something happens to your child? You must remember something, brother, sister. You could be multi-millionaires. I don't care a damn. I am here to tell you that Jesus Christ expects you to take care of your children. Many parents today take care of their children like flocks, like sheep. They just want to overview them. It will not work, brother. It will not work, sister. Here is a classic example. Parents must constantly monitor them. I have seen several parents in my ministerial path. Several people call me for prayer. I still remember a mother who called me. Very well to do, very wealthy. The father had the power of money. When their daughter came to college, exactly in the second year, she ran away with one fellow and she didn't turn back. What is the point of having millions? What is the point of having the best car when their daughter is absolutely absconding? They don't know where she is, what she's doing, and now she sits and cries. What is the use, sister? What is the use? When your turn comes to take care of your child, you must take care of it. It is not another task. It is a very important task. I still remember the reason why I'm standing here is not because of my individual brilliance or not because I have alone paid a price. Whatever my parents did, my mother and grandmother every day, first thing they will ask me, did you read the Bible? Have you prayed? Who are my friends? They know my friends better than me. They will constantly keep monitoring me. There were several times when I could have gone astray. But their constant monitoring, no matter what, my father went to make money, my mother also went to make money, but my grandmother will keep focusing. She has to take care of the home and she has to take care of me. Constant observation. There are several of you who are parents, or you can be future parents. This is something you must know. You cannot take care of your children like sheep. If you do this, definitely they will go astray. Then don't come and question God. Oh Lord, why did you do it? Nonsense. God gave you wisdom. God gave you brains. Please make use of it. Don't just blame God for everything. If your son has addictions, it is not because of God, it is because of you. When you had to take care of your son, you are sitting and running behind money. Please wake up, brother. Please wake up, sister. I don't know what your situation is, but first thing that the Lord showed me, there is a dark patch of cloud around several youngsters of families in this church. You must remember, the enemy will be waiting like a roaring lion. One opportunity, just one opportunity, he will pounce and close the chapter. This is one type of parent. The second type of parent, what a brilliant father. The son goes and rapes a girl, and the father is coming and supporting the son. He is going and saying, oh, my son loved your daughter. If he was a right man, if he was somebody who feared God, he should have corrected his son. Today, many parents boast about their children doing nonsense. Many parents think, oh, my child goes for weekend parties. Yo, what's up, funky parties. If they go for funky parties, they will become like monkeys. You must remember that. People today, socializing is very important. Today, being part of different clubs, being part of different society, the groups, it is very important. Hey, I am the chairman of Gujaratis Association. Who cares? When you see Jesus Christ face to face, is this what you will tell him? He will throw you away. Will you go and tell him, oh, I own 10 patel stores? Nonsense. He will catch you by a collar and throw you. He will ask you, I gave you this for what? I gave you wonderful children for what? I gave you all this wealth for what? You will have to cut a sorry figure, sir. You will have to cut a sorry figure, ma'am. You must know that when your children go astray, it is your responsibility to correct them. It is your responsibility to hold them by their collar. And when I say hold them by the collar, not literally, because here they will call 911. And I'm sure the parents will be in jail. But you must correct them. If you do not, the Bible says that the ending was very nasty. Several people had to lose their lives. Similarly, in your life and my life, this is what will happen. We will have to face severe losses of lives, not just property and materialistic things. This is the first point that I want to share. The second point is very, very interesting. If the parents have to correct the children, first the parents must be strong. First the parents must walk uprightly in front of God. I still remember a dear sister. She calls me, full tears. She's sobbing. I asked her, sister, what happened? This daughter, again, the same problem. Because in India, here at least it is very open. In India, the way we grew up, if a girl simply smiles at you, your friends will say she's loving you. She might have simply casually smiled at you. I think she likes you. Carry on, please. They will instigate you. They will complicate it. Like this, I think one of those puppy loves that came up. But this puppy love turned out to be a disaster. She is boldly coming and saying in grade 12 that I will marry this fellow. See how sad the state is. And when the mother went to correct the daughter, one thing the daughter asked the mother, what is your life? Have you seen how your life is? You ran away with my father, right? So why are you asking me today? Mother had no answer. What does she do? My number is on the speed dial of many sisters. Exactly from 12 to 2, housewives will call me. And after that, most of the men, they will call me once they come back. And majority of the problems are problems related to children. What is the point, brother? What is the point, sister? You have everything, but when you are not to walk, you are not able to walk uprightly, what kind of testimony will your child have? First, your testimony must be proper. First, your walk with Christ should be righteous. Only then will you have the capability and the guts to correct your children. It is very, very important what you say to your husband, what you say to your wife, how you treat your wife, How you treat your husband, it is very, very critical. You may wonder, how come this guy is saying all this? I am not married and I have no experience of marriage. But I have seen several cases which I can testify about. Not one, two, it will go in three digits. I have seen enough and more cases. So wake up today, brother, sister. I don't know what exactly you want to do, but these are things that you must keep in mind. You must remember that first, you must walk uprightly. Secondly, you must learn to correct your children and stop running behind money. Today, anybody you see, money, money, everything is money. How can I make more? How can I make more? I want to ask a question to those who have this mentality. When you die, will they bury you in the Mercedes Benz? They will bury you in a 6-foot wooden box. What are you fighting for? What are you running behind? Today the society will tell you, oh, Mr. Patel, this big man, $2 million mansion. When you go to the grave, 2 minutes, they will cry and walk out. It does not matter, brother. It does not matter, sister. The power in society is absolutely nothing. Today, many people call Christians as eccentrics. Why? Because we have to lead a very disciplined life. The world will not let you lead a disciplined life. I'm saying it is okay to be called an eccentric. I'm saying it is okay to be called as a mental case. Who is the world to me? All that matters is Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who brought us to this world. It was Jesus Christ who gave us this education. It is Jesus Christ who gave this wonderful family. It was Jesus Christ who gave you everything. So who are you accountable to? Is it Jesus Christ or to this world? These are questions you must answer. I cannot give you answers for this. This is the first point. The next portion, if somebody could read. Genesis chapter 14 and 14 to 16.
Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 slain servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as there. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Save, that is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of
Sorry, brother, actually it's a different one. 1 minute. Sorry, brother, if you can go to it is 19. Genesis chapter 19 verses 14 to 16. Sorry, brother. This is for the second group of people seated here. Here is a classic example, Abraham and Lot. Lot had a choice to make and his eyes was set on prosperity. His eyes was set on the beauties of the world, the power of wealth and etc., etc. And the Bible also says that not only was this guy so corrupted, that he also wanted his daughters to settle down in the same place with a corrupted group of people. Today, many of us are like this. We have a choice to make between Christ and the world. What do our choice looks like? 99.9% everybody wants to run behind the world. Everybody wants to run behind the sins of the world. Lot, when he moved there, he saw the sins that were taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. If he was a man who knew the Lord, immediately he would have left that place. But Lot chose to stay there. Lot chose to settle down there. And Lot also wanted his children to settle down there. Look at the kind of mentality. Look at his focus. His focus was not on God. His focus was on Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that were there. Today, many of us are like this. Our focus is only behind the world. We forget the God who gave us this wealth. We forget the God who brought us to the United States. We forget the God who gave us this wonderful job. We forget the God who gave us this big business. We forget the God who blessed us with every other aspect in our life. This is exactly what Lot did. Today, what is your choice going to be? Are you still going to run behind Sodom and Gomorrah, or are you going to take a decision to leave that immediately? And when I say immediately, I don't mean that you write all your wealth to some charitable trust and leave. That is foolishness. I'm saying that when you run for the world, you should remember the world will suck you in. There will not be a single room left in your heart for God, because you're always focused. Many people don't realize that the Satan is very, very tactical and cunning. He is very, very sharp. Some of us think we are extraordinary brilliance. Some of us think we have huge businesses, so our business acumen is great. Our decision-making skills are great. Our analytical thinking is extremely strong. Our strategic thinking is very strong. But we don't realize that the enemy that we are waging war with is there from the beginning. He knows where to hit you. He knows precisely what your weakness is. Today, many people tell me that once you get married, your wife knows exactly what the husband needs, or the wife knows the husband better, or the husband knows the wife better. I am here to tell you, better than your husband and wife, there is a Satan who knows you better. He knows every single trap of yours. He knows every single weakness of yours. And precisely there is where he will hit you. And when you run behind the world, one day you will have to wake up. And when you wake up, it will be too late. I still remember a gentleman. He was around 48 years. Extremely strong in business. Very, very powerful man. Money rich fellow. When he started, he was God, God, God. But when God started elevating him, there was a servant of God who prayed for him for several years. And this man would literally fall down in front of him. But when money started coming into his account, when God started expanding his territories, I still remember, this fellow goes to him, and when the dear servant of God laid his hand on him, he said, "Don't keep your hand on my head. You just pray for me from the distance." Look at the mentality. See what has happened when God blessed him with the business. When God strengthened his arm. He does not want God. This is the trap that each and every one of us will fall into. Very easy. It is very, very easy. You must understand this, brother. Whoever you are, I very, very clearly know. The Lord showed me there are several business people here. The Lord also showed me certain things which I have written down. And I will read it point by point about several of you seated here today. Even before I pray. So you have a choice to make. You either run for God or you stay in Sodom and Gomorrah. Please don't make God waste his time also. Don't put on a costume that will be torn apart one day. Many of us wear this costume of spirituality. I'm sure many of you know, in India there is something called Maruti cars. If you don't know, please pardon me, it's a very small company when compared to the giants. But in India, where I come from, there is something called Maruti service station. Here it is so luxurious. You sit in the car, roll your windows, 3 minutes, you're out. But there you cannot do that because the amount of dust and dirt, it will take 20 minutes. Three fellows will stand with pipes like machine guns and surrounding the car, they'll spray. It after 20 minutes is when the car will become clean. Just like this Maruti car, there are several bulls and buffaloes that come to church on Sunday. Monday to Saturday, running like devils. Where were you on Friday? I was partying. Saturday, where were you? I was chilling out with friends. Monday to Friday, what were you doing? Busy with several things. I was with my friends, kitty party, moon party, all these things. Sunday, pastor, please pray for me, pastor. I need power. Pastor, please pray for me. What pastor will do? He has to take the gun and clean you every Sunday. This is how majority of the Christians are. Sunday service stations. Monday to Saturday running like devils. And not a single day they are of use to God or use to themselves. The poor pastor every Sunday has to prepare a sermon. And the pastor has to sing with anointing and clean this group. How much more will we run like this, brother? How much more will we run like this, sister? When you see Christ, what will you tell him? Christ is not going to do water wash for you. It will be a clean washout. Please remember that. This is for the second group. The third group. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. Genesis 32, 22 to 32. Here is a classic example that I want to lay before you. Several times we hear Jacob wrestled with God. But for Jacob to wrestle with God, for Jacob to stand face to face and to do certain things, how is it possible? Jacob was not some time pass guy. He was a big business guy. He was a wealthy man. He had a big family. He had several things to do. But how could he wrestle with God? Have you ever thought about it? When will God come down and wrestle with you or fight for you? It is possible only when you walk uprightly with God, when you have a strong prayer life. The reason why Jacob could wrestle with God is because his prayer life was very strong. Today, many of us, when we look at our prayer life, it is a big, big sorry state. Many people call me for prayer. These days, to reduce the call volume, I have one trump card. Brother, how long do you pray every day, brother? pin drop silence. Sister, how long do you pray every day? 15 minutes. At least spontaneously, sisters will tell. 15, 20 minutes. 15, 20 minutes you want to spend time with God, and the things that you ask God will take 15, 20 years to perform. How is it possible, brother? How is it possible, sister? Without spending time with God, how can you expect God to come down? Today, many of us remember God only on a Sunday. What do we do during the entire day? When you talk about giving, people only related to tithe. You must learn to give minimum 10% of your time every day. You must know the God who created you. You must know the God who brought you here. I know several parents, you are seated here. Just think about it. With so much care, so much love, so much affection, you bring your child up. But if your child does not care to look at you, if your child does not care to speak for 2 minutes with you, what will you do? You'll be very happy, right? If it was my mother, I would have got beaten with all the vessels in the kitchen. Yesterday I was sharing, many people here in America, they are so careful. But the way I was brought up, all varieties of broomstick I've got beaten. With the chapati roller I've got beaten. Plates have come to me like frisbees. That is the way they've disciplined me. But here, you tell anything to your child, 911. One brother called me for prayer for his full family. So before praying, he told me one story. He said, in Indian homes, if you go, hey, kya hai? This kind of shouting, yelling between mother and father is very common. So these people try to replicate it in America. So the two daughters, tiny ones. So the mother and father are having strong discussions. So the father casually just pushed her. This child got scared. Without them realizing, she's called 911. And in 10 minutes, there are three cars in front of their homes. These people are wondering, what did we do? It is a Saturday, we didn't go out, no accident, no murder, nothing we've done. Why are cops in front of our house? For 30 minutes, they drilled this husband and wife. So they asked them, what brings you here? Your daughter has called 911. So they called the daughter. Why did you call 911? No, my miss told me. If you hear loud noise between your mommy, daddy, call 911. This is how children are brought up today. Where is the question of correction? So we have to be so careful. But in all of this, how is our life? Have we ever thought that we have to go into God's presence? That we have to bend our knees? Many people, when they are in problems, they will immediately call a servant of God. Either phone calls or emails. But I'm here to tell you from today, try sending an email. Go on your knees, brother. Go on your knees, sister. The enemy will, several people come and tell me, brother, morning to evening, full time gospel songs we are listening. Best preacher's sermon we listen. Saturday, Sunday, no Salman Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, only Bishop T.D. Jakes, Benny and programs. The enemy will let you listen to gospel songs 24/7. He will let you hear the best sermons, but he will never let you pray. Try doing it, brother, sister. Try bending your knees. After 10 minutes, you will remember of the nonsense that your wife told you. In 15 minutes, you will remember the slap your husband gave you. He will collapse you completely. Because he knows, when you bend your knees, God's plans will begin to establish. When you bend your knees, God is compelled. God's attention falls on you. The enemy knows that. He will never let you pray. Today, many people fail in this miserably. Especially servants of God. They do this ministry as time pass. Today, there is no shortage of servants of God. But how many people can bring deliverance for people? How many servants of God can bring you a word? How many people can bring a healing for you? It is a big question mark. Why people have stopped with Dr. D.G.S. Dinakaran and greats like him? There are nobody else who can bring deliverance for the people. Why God is not able to use people? Is it that he is partial? Not at all. The same God who gave the power to Moses, The same God who gave that power to Elijah, the same God who gave the power to Elisha can give you that power. But have you asked him? Are you willing to pay a price? How many of you are willing to pay a price? Today, many people, they have a very glamorous world called I'm part of a ministry. This blanket of saying I'm part of a ministry will not help you, brother, sister. You must learn to bend your knees. Just coming and playing instruments or singing or preaching will not be enough. There are many people to do it. But how can you impact lives? How can you bring a change into people's lives? That is very critical. You must be able to bring God's word. You must be able to bring deliverance. However big you are, how much ever money you have, it does not matter, brother. It does not matter, sister. All that will matter is your relationship with God. When you bend your knees, God will be compelled. When you bend your knees, God has to do something. There is no plan B. Today we operate very strategically and very in a very clever way. When we go to buy something, if this is not there, plan B, plan C, plan D. You go to get married, if not this girl, that girl, this girl. Similarly, for everything there is plan B, plan C, plan D. But when you go to God, the best plan in your life will be established. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. And it is so miserable. Only once a year, we want to think about the cross. Only one day in a year. Where is the remaining 364 days? Jesus Christ went on the cross for what? Just to remember the cross for one day? Today, many of us forget the power of Jesus Christ. The power of the cross. You must not forget that, brother, sister. Every day, whether you look at your wife's face or husband's face or not, you must see the cross. Christianity is around the cross. You and me are seated here only because Jesus Christ went on the cross. Only because he took those bruises. Only because he shed that blood. You and me are sitting in liberty. Only because of that cross. We forget the cross. I still remember on the Good Friday, every Tom, Dick and Harry in Facebook about the cross. The next day, Salman Khan's new movie. Shah Rukh Khan's movie, grossing details. What kind of nonsense is this? What are you trying to prove? To whom are you trying to prove? This one day of holiness, will it help you? Absolutely no. It will not take you far. The grace and mercy will be there for a while, brother, sister. This mercy will not sustain forever. This grace will not close you forever. When you lead an erratic life, God will not always protect you. I'm sick and tired of preachers saying God will love you, God will bless you. You will run like a buffalo and expect God to bless you. How is it possible? How is it possible, sir? Today, many people come to America, especially software engineers, or for something or the other. When they come here, the culture changes. They forget the God who brought them here. Till the time they get their American stamping, oh Lord, I need this. If you are alive, do this for me. All filmy dialogues will come out. But when they come to America, where is God? Brother, what do you do Saturday, Sunday? I'm busy sightseeing. Is God going to ask you how Florida was? Is Christ going to ask you how was the Six Flags? Is Christ going to ask you how was this roller coaster ride? He will laugh on your face. It will be a very sorry figure that you have to cut. Many of us are like this. We forget the God who has blessed us. I am here to ask you, why do you need that money if it pulls you away from God? This materialist blessings was given to you so that you may come close to God. So that you may be useful for God's servants. So that you can do something for his kingdom.
so that you can win souls. That is the only reason why God has blessed you. That is the only reason why God has given you this church. Not for you to come and boast about yourself. Today, sometimes testimony time is a joke time. The context and the content is completely idiotic. It is a platform to publicize things. It is a platform to show off. What are you coming to say? The crux is Jesus Christ. The crux is Jesus Christ died for you. The crux is Jesus Christ did this for you. Where is Jesus Christ in this? You must wake up, brother, sister. Today, my duty is gone. I am done. But when you see God, he will ask you, till yesterday what you did, he will let go of it. But he will tell, he will ask you, the way I opened the donkey's mouth for Balaam, I brought this donkey and opened his mouth. What did you do after that? Till this while, you could have done whatever you want. But after this, you will be accountable. You have to answer God. You must give a clear report of everything. This is up to you, brother, to take it or leave it. I cannot force anything on you, but you have a choice to make. If you choose Christ, you will see eternal life. If you choose Christ, your generations will see Christ. If you choose Jesus Christ, your family will be redeemed. But if you choose to be with the world, a big sorry to you and a big sorry to me for wasting my time. Because after 30 years, if I come and see, you will come and sit and warm the benches here. You can choose if you want to warm the benches or if you want to warm people's hearts. You can touch people's heart not by your individual brilliance, not by your flamboyance, but only through the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit has to operate. Today, many people dislike the word Holy Spirit. You talk about Holy Spirit, oh, this is a different group, untouchable group. You must ask for the Holy Spirit, brother, sister. How many of you here ask God for the Holy Spirit? How many of you here ask God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You cannot be a phony Christian, sir. You must have power. If you read the Bible, people followed Jesus Christ only because they saw signs and wonders. In those days when Christ walked on this planet, people wanted signs and wonders. So today, if God is not able to perform signs and wonders to you, nobody will come to Christ. You must have that power. You must have that power from God. You must have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you will just come and do all this nonsense every week and go. So please wake up, brother, sister. Finally, the Lord has been very kind. Before I go to any place to preach, very clearly, he shows me certain things of people who sit there. Because I don't want to come and just be another ordinary joker to talk about Christ. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is still alive. I have never seen any of you. I have never spoken any of you. But now I'll tell you precisely what the problem is in your life. And how is it possible? Through Jesus Christ. How is it possible? Through the Holy Spirit. How is it possible? Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I leave it to you to make the choice today. Even if you didn't hear the message, no problem. Next 10 minutes, please give me your undivided attention, brother, sister. There is one person seated here. For several years, you had victory after victory, elevation after elevation. But sometime recently, you had a big fall in your life. And you're wondering, is this the end of my life? Has the road been closed? The Lord wants me to tell you, the road is not closed for you. The Lord is willing to pull you up today, provided you commit your life. This is one. There is a young man seated here. Brother, you have had success after success in your education.
Whatever you touched turned into gold in your education. But when you started going for work, things were completely different. All that you touched began a failure. You have changed close to 3 or 4 jobs in your career, and you don't know what. You're asking God why. The Lord wants me to tell you it is because of your heavy head, because you think you can do everything by your might. The Lord wants me to tell you, He just showed you that without Him, you are a big zero. So this is a wake-up call for you. If you are willing to bend your knees and commit yourself to Christ, God will change this failure. God will elevate you in your job, and He will give you that stability. There is a young, certain things I don't know how I should say, but I'm going to say it because I don't want this bloodshed on my head. There is a sister here. You have very bad friends in college, and you are addicted to certain unwanted things. When you started it, you thought it was a big joke and you can come out of it instantly. But today you are drowned in it. You want to come out of it, but you're not able to do it. You tried several times and you know it is not right. The Lord wants me to tell you, sister, that today He is changing your heart. Today He is giving you the strength. And I have good news for you. From this day, God is delivering you. From this day, God is going to bring peace and joy into your family. You can write it and keep it. There is another sister here. You want to do something for God. You want to do ministry for Him. But anything you say, people take it in the wrong sense. Anything you say in good intention, it turns out to be bad. And you're so dejected. And you're asking God, I need power to do this ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, He is going to fulfill your heart's desire. One day you will become a mighty servant of God. And God will equip you, sister. So be encouraged. Do not give up. Ask God for whatever you want. And God wants to give it to you. There is a rich gentleman here. You have some problems from your knee to your feet. Very specifically, there are some boils. And these boils are troubling you. These boils are having excruciating pain. The Lord wants me to tell you, when you leave this place today, God is going to heal you because He loves you very dearly. There are many brothers here who are blessed materially very, very well, but you have several complications in your body. The Lord wants me to tell you, open your heart for Christ. This bondage will remain till the very end if you don't open your heart for Christ. Before you leave this place, if you commit, God is willing to heal those diseases. There is another brother here. You are a businessman. And you have some kind of industry. So long you were having only internal problems. But recently you started having external problems. And most importantly, there are 2 or 3 people who are troubling you too much in your business. And you're so dejected because you put your trust on Him. You put your trust on these 2 or 3 people and they have failed you. And the Lord wants me to tell you, you are sitting with so much of burden. The Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, brother, nothing will happen to your industry. Christ is going to protect you. Christ is going to strengthen you. And Christ will show in front of the same people who are troubling you that you belong to Him. There is a youngster here. You are studying in the college. Recently, you have stumbled with some new type of pleasure. The Lord wants me to tell you, brother, it is very, very dangerous. Your parents are very honorable and reputed people. The enemy has laid this trap not only for you, but for your parents. So please be very careful. This is not the path for you to go. Be very, very careful. There is a big trap that is going to be laid before you. If you realize it today, God will protect you. There is another gentleman here. You are addicted to some kind of, I don't know if it is drugs or some kind of things. And every day you are drinking. Your family, your friends have told you repetitively to please come out of it. Now you want to come out of it, but you are not able to do it. The Lord wants me to tell you that today, if you commit your life,
if you commit 100% to Jesus Christ, he will deliver you. There is a mother here. You have two daughters and one son. Very specifically, you are praying for your second daughter and your husband. I don't want to tell what the problem is, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, sister, he has seen your tears. He has heard your prayer. And very soon you can expect a miracle. There is another brother here. For several years you have hardened your heart and you are trapped in some hidden sins. The Lord wants me to tell you that he's given you chance after chance. If you do not come to Christ, you will have to pay a very heavy price. Please, brother, these hidden sins will be brought to public. Please be very careful today. There is another mother here. Your life is in pain. You have excruciating pain in your body. You are not able to sleep properly. At times you are not able to move. The Lord wants me to tell you there is a lot of pain in your legs and back. Today Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, before you leave this church, God is going to heal you. There is another brother. You have a big problem. Constantly you keep forgetting things. You are in a good job, but because of this problem, constantly you are embarrassed. Constantly you have to go through unwanted experience. The Lord Jesus Christ is touching you today. No longer will you have this weakness. Your weakness will be changed into your strength today when you leave this place. There is a dear sister, you do not have peace in your marriage and you are praying to God. The Lord wants me to tell you, today God is going to touch your marriage life. And he wants me to tell you that I am who I am. I am an almighty God. And I will definitely heal your marriage and bless your marriage. There is another sister. The enemy has touched your womb. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted me to tell you very specifically, the Lord who touched Hannah's womb, the Lord who opened Hannah's womb is opening your womb right now, sister. Write it and keep it. Precisely, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to bless you with a child. And don't forget to give praise to God that time. Last, this is the most difficult thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it. There is some person here. There is some kind of molestation that you have been part of for quite some time now. The Lord wants me to tell you, sir, this is the last warning. You have indulged yourself in certain unwanted things. I do not want to get into details. If you do not repent today, you can write it and keep it. There are several people listening. God will put an end to everything. Please, it is my kind request. Please be very, very careful. Today, commit your life. God is willing to change you. God is willing to bring you out. If you do not change today, things will become public. It will become a public affair and your life will come to an end. So please wake up. I just want to close with a word of prayer too. So I would request each and every one of you who can stand to please stand up. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. I would kindly request each and every one of you to close your eyes. Do not worry who's seeing, who's not seeing. This time is only between you and Jesus Christ. This time is only between you and your Heavenly Father. Dear sister, dear brother, whatever be the things, commit it into his arms today. This next few minutes can change your life. You have a choice to trust what I say or leave it. But you have to make that decision. The Lord is willing to change several things. But are you willing to commit your life? Are you willing to change? Roko remo rili tishi kobo. Le miri tishi mikara to re. Le kara tishi mikara to rolo. Reboli ni tishi ka. There are several families here. You have problems because of some type of problem because of your children. You are so disturbed.
You are so disturbed because of some problem in your child's life. Dear brother, sister, the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, He is willing to change it. He is willing to touch lives. He is willing to touch hearts, provided you commit your life today. Provided you surrender yourself to God today. Koro limi tishi reboli ni te shoko bori likara. Remiti sheli roro te bokoro. There is a dear brother here. You are trying to expand. You are trying to move to the next level. But this wretched devil has closed all doors. I see an iron chain around you. And that is the reason why you are not able to succeed. You are not able to do certain things. The Lord Jesus Christ is breaking those chains today. And the Lord wants me to tell you, from this day, you will see several things. For the last few years, you have gone in search of things. But everything, you had to be disappointed. But from this day onwards, things will come in search of you, brother. You can write it and keep it. Tesho rolo mori ti shebori kara lekamora ti shekoro likaba rimi tolori kariti shikoro. There is someone here. You are so scared about somebody. You are constantly struck with this fear because of that person. And you are always thinking, what is going to happen next? What is going to happen next? Dear brother, sister, I don't know who you are, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to tell you, no longer will you fear. No longer will you fear and succumb to unwanted things. The Lord is giving you the strength of a rhinoceros today. Today onwards, you will see a change, and right in front of you, the earth will open and swallow that person. So be encouraged. Teshi rimi koru, lebori ni kara, tesho rili toro remo koru, lebiri koro tishi kara. There is someone here in the front. When you come to church, you have a different appearance, but when you go out, lot of hidden things you are doing. Dear brother, sister, I don't know who you are, but the Lord wants me to tell you, this is holy ground. You cannot do nonsense and come to this pulpit or come to this church and do certain things. The Lord's anger is burning. Today you make a decision. You either be with the world or you commit your life. Do not lead your life. It is very dangerous like this. Please check your life today. Toro limi kori tishikobora remoli kari. There is someone here. The Lord shows me that He is going to bless you with some new house or some kind of building. The Lord wants me to say, it is approved. It is approved. Go in peace. Master, I bind every single demonic force that is troubling your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, with the authority you have given me, I bind these wretched forces, Lord. From this day, your people must see deliverance. From this day, your people must see a change, Lord. Because we are praying in the name of the Most High God. From this day, your people must see a change. Let your divine peace flow through your people right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Right now, let their burdens be removed. Let those unwanted anxieties be removed. Let your divine peace and joy cover them right now. Right now. Right now, Lord. Protect them and guard them. I put a fence of fire around each and every one here, Lord. And most importantly, we commit the pastors and all the people who are supporting. At no point should the enemy trouble them, Master. At no point should the enemy touch the peace of their heart or their family. Protect them and guard them. In Jesus' matchless name I pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all souls.